out there for Thanksgiving, so we had table set.
For the Police Judicial and Legal Committee for Monday, November 30th. Good to see everybody. Hope you had a nice Thanksgiving, and we're looking forward to a great Christmas season in the town of Mount Pleasant. Item number two is approval of minutes from our November 2nd meeting. Do we have a motion?
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. All right, all in favor of the motion, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Item number three is public comments. If you have a public comment, please come forward, give your name and address in 2 minutes. And who is keeping 2 minutes?
Yes, sir, I'll get it.
Town Administrator, Mr. Yep. DeMora. Yes, sir.
Kevin Kinney, 3032 River Vista Way. I'd like to take my 3 minutes, which is what the ordinance says, right? But we exercise discretion on that, and we make it 2. Now, on emergency powers, we don't seem to have that same ability to use discretion now, do we? We just use those emergency powers because we can get in the press, and we can look like we care so much about people with COVID. If we pass a mayoral proclamation to force the mask ordinance to continue 3 days after a council meeting. Forget about the public. You can't say the public wasn't interested. It was probably the most attended meeting in recent history. But we have, unfortunately, a mayor who doesn't understand discretion and is going to take every opportunity to get himself in the paper and on the news, regardless of the most important part of American democracy, which is this, participation. It's the worst that could happen if you brought it up on Tuesday before the mayoral proclamation. You would have had a couple of public comments. Oh no, are we scared of that? Are we afraid of the public? Sure seems like it when we run out of the meeting and afraid to talk to the people afterwards. It's pretty pathetic. So I'm saying, yeah, maybe there's a loophole that says you could use emergency power to continue a mask ordinance, which started at the federal government, went to the state, went to the town, went to the county. Everybody and their mother wants to get a piece of this for the publicity, but nothing changes. The stores are still requiring it when you walk in. You know, the ordinance that was in place, completely unenforceable. I mean, I think Mr. Rambo said it right from the dais up there. It's unenforceable. It's also unenforceable because of our chief and his officers. They use something they learned on day 2 of the police academy called discretion. Completely unenforceable. But yet we force it through again for no reason. Nothing changes. Pharmacies, grocery stores, they require it because their insurers are telling them to record, to have it. You don't need the town also jumping in there so the mayor can get publicity. It's a joke. Thank you.
Anyone else?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning.
Gary Santos, 1690 Greystone Boulevard. As you know, I was the one that I guess was probably responsible for having this put on. I'm not here to complain about anybody or anything or the way things are done. What I would like to see, though, in an emergency situation, that is a quorum of council make decisions when and if possible, even if we have to do it by video conferencing like we did before when we weren't meeting, we were meeting electronically. I think we're all elected, all 9 of us are elected by our citizens of the town, and I think they expect us to make decisions based on the well-being of our community. And when we have an emergency situation, certainly if we're able to, all 9 of us ought to be able to meet, ought to be able to make a decision on what goes on, whether it's electronically or not. If we can't do that, then we have to find another way to do it. But I think that whenever the decisions are being made, like the mask ordinance, I think it should come before full council, and we should make that decision rather than one person. That's just my opinion. I think we're all elected by the same people to do the same job, and I think that we ought to have that opportunity when it presents itself. Thank you.
Anyone else? Last call for public comment. All right, that closes item number 3. Item 4, police matters, employee years of recognition. Chief?
Sir, unfortunately, he had a family issue come up and could not be here.
Oh.
And I will recognize him Friday. We have a staff meeting. We'll be recognizing SPO Kevin Thompson for 5 years. And we'll do a formal in Friday, sir.
Thank you very much. All right. Item five, legal matters, review of town ordinance title chapter 41, civil emergencies. Mr. Santos just said that he's the reason that was put on there. Mr. Paglerini, if you would just give us a little bit of your assessment of this, and then we'll see what comments council members may have.
Thank you, Mayor, and good morning, committee. Mayor, if you'll indulge me, I had planned to introduce Mr. DeFord to the committee this morning, but here we are. So you may have seen him on the screen. William Mack DeFord was brought on. I guess it's been about a month now. Mack joins us by way of the United States Coast Guard, a degree from the Citadel, and Charleston School of Law. We took him away from Blackbaud. We are very, very pleased to have him. And so I hope under more normal circumstances, you all will get to meet Mack and say hello. But he will be presenting the next item, Mayor. So so you'll be able to talk to him at that point. Chapter 41 of our code is the emergency provision. And for actions that the mayor may undertake, and I have, I hope you all have it handout. There are just a few provisions, a small section of the code, and I believe as a general matter that there are two basic elements to this. The first issue or requirement is whether there are circumstances deemed to create a state of emergency. And then the second is a listing of the specific powers and authorities that the mayor may rely on, utilize, and direct. I would also add that if the mayor is absent or unable to participate, the mayor pro tem has this authority. And it is also important to note that under 41.07, that the council may at any time vote to end a town state of emergency or end any of the restrictions imposed by the mayor. So it would take five votes to do that at any time. You will note that there are a specific listing of restrictions, authorized restrictions. I say specific, but those appear to be fairly broad when you read them, and that is in 41.03 of the handout. There is no specific time limit on the powers and the authority here, though in practice, what we have done over the last, at least the last 9 months, is limit those by time. That is the most prudent way to exercise this authority, and I believe any municipality in the state does the same. I do understand that we have utilized this recently for COVID related items, and one of the questions I think, at least that I've been asked several times, is does the town need to have a declaration of a state of emergency? And in this case, I think if you look at 4102.02, really there needs to be a state of emergency. And under current circumstances, the governor has declared the same. That has been in effect continuously since March. And it's my opinion, and I believe the code supports that, that declared state of emergency by the governor is sufficient to trigger this authority. So that is it in a nutshell, Mayor. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Paglerini. I think the members of the committee know that, first of all, I never thought I would use these powers. Haven't had to use them in a storm-related thing yet, although we can imagine. A situation was in Berkeley County in the spring, I think it was. A tornado came through in the middle of the night. Hurricanes, we have some warning. We have some preparation. We have some procedures in place. A tornado pops up in the middle of the night. We have something like that. You have no power, no cell phones. You know, how would you open town hall? How would you contact and get a quorum? So these things are useful.
I can assure you, I have never used it without the express advice of the, of legal, not whether I ought to do a certain thing or not, but whether the conditions and the invocation of the proclamation was within the law, and as was the case with the most recent one. So I'll just turn it over to council and see what input y'all may have. Mrs. Hyatt.
I would just say that the fact that this says that council has the power to rescind any order, that should cover a lot of what anyone could have a problem with.
Yep. Yes, ma'am.
I think it's important when there's a state of emergency that there is a person that can be sort of the authority to issue any sort of proclamation or something. I think sometimes it could be hard to, in a state of emergency, find everyone and obtain a quorum. I think if that can be done, it should be, but I think it's necessary to have this section in times of emergency. And I agree with Ms. Hyatt that the council can overturn things, the council can rescind this. So I think there is that backstop there, you know, ensuring that there is the voice of the rest of council can be heard.
Thank you. Yes, sir. Rambo.
So I know that I have in the past been critical of this ordinance, particularly back in March when we were thinking about using it to close businesses and that sort of thing. But I will say, like you guys both said, council ultimately does have the authority because it takes five votes and you can override it. So that is there. I've always felt like after kind of the COVID stuff has passed, that we should take a hard look at this ordinance because there are things in here that give me pause. Like for instance, the mayor, and let me first say too, I think it's important not to think about the current mayor. I think it's important to think about it, the position in general, and because it could be anybody. Right. I mean, we are setting policy for the future. But there are things in here that give me pause. For instance, under 4103A, the mayor having the authority to regulate the possession of a firearm during a state of emergency. I don't know, I think a lot of people have firearms because for a state of emergency. And so there are things in here that, like I said, give me pause, and I think is warranted of further council discussion. I don't know that right this second if this is the correct time to do it or if other people feel that way, but there are revisions that I think could be made in this, but I'll just put that out there. I don't know if it's worth the whole council maybe weighing in on it, but those are just my thoughts about it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate the fact that when this has had to be used during the COVID crisis, I have received communication from all of you on this committee about its use and actually encouraging me to do so. So I agree, when we're out of a state of emergency, we can look at things, specifically section 4103, about what those would, yeah, would be. Because I think they address some pretty drastic circumstances. Mr. Pagliarini, do you have anything else?
No, sir, I don't have anything else. And certainly if you all have any suggestions, as I just heard, we'd be glad to start accumulating those for presentation whenever the committee's ready. Obviously, this was not written, this portion of the code, with COVID in mind.
Right.
It really wasn't meant to deal with that, though I don't think anyone could have predicted. So we also have a few things that we would add and delete as well when this committee's ready.
Sounds good. How about we'll bring that up in the future and take a look at item by item. Sound good? Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Pagliarini. Item 5B is discussion and possible action to amend Chapter 140 of the Town of Mount Pleasant Code of Ordinances entitled Abandoned Watercraft. Apparently this has become, or from time to time we have an issue with this. I think we all have a copy of this. Ms.
Mr. Moore, I guess you want to?
Oh, yes, sir. I can introduce it and talk about the genesis of this item arriving in front of you today. And as Mr. Pagliarini suggested, Mac is prepared to talk about it further as to the specifics. But what we're concerned about in the community is boats that are abandoned. And our ordinance is strong, but not strong enough to prevent a situation which has occurred in other places and nearly occurred here in Mount Pleasant, where an abandoned boat becomes loose and it threatens either public property or private property. I'm talking specifically of Shem Creek. Just a couple weeks back, we had the situation during a storm, and one boat near missed the public docks and near missed causing significant damage to private property. And so and we're not the only community looking at this. Folly Beach has been looking at it. They have passed some stronger measures. We are doing the same thing, and this is where we are. And I believe Mac is prepared to talk about ways we can strengthen our ordinance to have the ability to act if we need to. So I'll leave it at that. Mac?
Thank you, Eric. Good morning, Mayor and Committee. As Eric mentioned, we do feel that the current ordinance is strong and represents the best interest of the community. The legal department was asked to review the ordinance in consultation with the police department, and we did come up with two relatively minor proposed additions for your review and consideration. And I don't know if you all are able to see the document right now, but I'm on page 4. It is highlighted as 140.11. And what that does, or what it would do, is it would place a lien on an abandoned vessel and shift the cost of removing that vessel of any cleanup or disposal. For example, if there are any kind of oil leaks or anything like that, it's posing a hazard to the marine environment. And it would also cover storage costs and costs of enforcing the section. And that lien could only be satisfied if the owner of the vessel paid in full for those costs. The second addition is a limitation of liability, and that simply disclaims any liability that the town may be subjected to, that if the abandoned vessel incurs any sort of damage during the removal process or storage. The overall rationale being that the town is undertaking these efforts to remove either an unsafe hazard to navigation or a hazard to public health and to the marine environment. So with that, I'd be happy to take any questions or comments.
Thank you. Committee?
I move that we recommend to full council that we approve these changes to the code.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
We have a motion and a second. We're in discussion. I'll ask a quick question. Are these measures, strengthening measures that y'all have gathered from other municipalities, would this be consistent with what's happening around us?
Yes, Mayor. Around us in the state and then also nationally.
Okay. That sounds good. Do you think, and this is a broader issue, do you think we would have some pretty uniform, I don't know what Sullivan's Island, Isle of Palms is doing, City of Charleston, but I guess a boat, an abandoned boat, can start in one jurisdiction and actually drift to another. Just wondering. I know that we've got one out there, a pleasure craft that's sitting in the marsh off Patriots Point right now. So I'm assuming, obviously, that would be in our jurisdiction. Will we be pretty consistent with others if we make these two changes?
Yes, Mayor.
Okay. Thank you very much. All right. Motion second. Any further discussion? Yes, sir. Mr. Rambo.
I had a couple of questions. One was related to jurisdiction. As far as navigable waters, I mean, where do we actually have jurisdiction? I don't understand that. Like our ordinance would only apply in town boundaries, right? And.
That's right.
So if something's out in the harbor, like even if it's towards the mouth of Shem Creek, is that really in our jurisdiction?
It would be, then it falls into other levels of government. If it's in the navigable waters, it will go to the Coast Guard. DNR has some involvement, but this is just for what's inside of our boundaries right now.
So I'm trying to imagine a situation where we would have one inside of our, because even Shem Creek is not necessarily our boundaries, right? If it's the navigable, if it's in navigable waters.
Yes, portions of it are. And if a vessel was not inside of our boundaries and it became inside of our boundaries, then we would act.
Okay. And then the next question I had on 140-11, this new section, that the owner's responsible for those costs. I imagine that most of these commercial vessels are owned by some sort of LLC or something that would have, you know, gone bankrupt or have limited liability in these sorts of situations. Correct me if I'm wrong, I guess, is my question.
Well, I'll, Mac, go ahead and answer if you like. I'll just say that our experience has been almost exclusively with private ownership.
Okay.
One single person or a couple.
So, yeah, so if it's owned privately, then that person would then be liable for all of those costs.
Correct.
Okay, all right. But if it was owned by an LLC and they dissolved or whatever, then they have no.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
All right. Any other comments? Chief, that new police boat of ours going to help in some of this if need be? All right, good. All right, we're prepared to vote. All in favor of the motion to include the suggested changes into our abandoned watercraft ordinance, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion passes, so we will pass this on to full council. Thank you, Counselor. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you, committee.
Item 6 is judicial matters, which would involve executive session for personnel matters involving interviews for municipal judges. Do we have a motion to go into executive session for
this? So moved.
Have a motion. Is there a second? Before we vote, post-executive session, the committee may take action on any item, including any subsection of any section listed on an executive session agenda or discussed in an executive session during a properly noticed meeting. All in favor of going into executive session for the purpose of conducting interviews for municipal judges, please say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? We are in executive session. I believe we will be going to courtroom.
Yes.
The Police, Judicial, and Legal Committee has reconvened at whatever time it happens to be. I have 11:51. We were in executive session interviewing candidates for municipal judgeships. No action was taken. No votes were cast. However, our evaluations will be shared in executive session at the upcoming special council meeting. If there is nothing, I think that's the end of the agenda. If there is nothing further before this committee, we will stand adjourned.